All right, on this episode of the Paranormal Mind podcast, we are going to be talking about quantum immortality.
I love the word quantum.
Faking you out. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Paranormal Mind podcast.
What's up, everybody?
What are those other buttons do?
A lot of them are normal ones. Like,
oh, okay, it's your normal stuff now. Okay,
yeah, I haven't really.
Mandy, you can't hear any of this.
Ooh, these are all like they feel.
Quit
new.
Caressing the soundboard, you sicko.
He's like, they feel unused. Untainted.
You're over there caressing the buttons. That's weird. He's been pounding the buttons.
well,
that's not out of character for Josh.
I don't know that I'd word it that way, but sure.
You did pound the shit out of that.
Yeah. I'm just like, man, these are untouched.
Man, your wife is
laying this in out. On
this
me.
Is funny. I love it.
Jeez. What? Yeah,
really?
That's true.
Let's have a roast session right now.
Oh, man, no. I don't have enough medications for that.
Wow. Man, I would pay to see that.
No. I just roast him on the internet. Oh, and at home. That's funny.
And at home. But let's not go down that again. Where what did we say that Mandy said that you were stupid or something? Yeah. And it wasn't the case at all, but we made Mandy.
I had to hear about that. Yep, that's true. And then she calls me stupid. She would not let me live that down for like weeks.
I never do that to you.
Oh, I know. Hey, it's okay. We all call him stupid.
She was just upset because she was found out.
Oh. And hey, you know what? That doghouse back there looks pretty cool. You're going to be familiar with
it.
Yeah,
and I'm glad I got that RV. Yeah.
She's going to go out there in the middle of the night and cut all the power to it, though.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Wow, the break. Okay. We're not traveling in the RV anymore.
Yeah.
Not on my watch. Not while I'm in there anyway. If Josh is driving,
he's going to make me test drive it first.
That's right. Hey, go get some gas real quick, buddy. If I don't see any brake lights,
yep, then you know. Over.
Yep. All right. We got payments to make on that. Yeah, I know.
That's right.
Yeah, let's not even jinx it. Let's not even mention Vince's name one time.
I love that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But, you know, out of all the things on the RV to break, I'd rather him break that than anything else in there.
I mean, let's be honest. We took that thing. I always kept saying that. And, you know, my running joke while we were gone is like, I bet this thing's wanting me to take it back now.
Oh, yeah. Well, the most hilarious thing is trying to take a nap in there.
Yeah.
Because I went to the back where the bed is, and I lay down and, you know, getting used to driving
and
maneuvering the RV. And I think it was Mike who was driving, and he went over this bump or whatever, and it was almost like I was like in a... And an anti-gravity NASA thing or something. I felt like I floated up.
Right.
While I was like, holy shit. And if something ever happened, God forbid, hopefully never will, then we're done for.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because there's seatbelts in there, but we never used them. Not in the back.
Yeah. I don't know. I've kind of exceeded my life expectancy at this point.
Yeah, but we don't want it to be death by RV or whatever.
I mean, no, that's true. Whatever.
But speaking of death and like immortality, or the opposite in immortality. We're talking about quantum immortality.
Awesome.
And I was reading a book, and it's called, what is it? The Tree of Life, or Way of Life, or something like that. I can't remember. It's pretty bad. I don't even know the title.
Circle of Life.
But anyway, it's talking about quantum physics and what else? Manifestation, things like that. And this term came up, quantum immortality.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at?
George Bailey is look at him. He's like looking at himself in the mirror.
Oh. He's just checking himself out.
He's like, dang, I look hot. So George Bailey is our little Yorkie. You see him from time to time.
Oh, look, he's calling.
Joel, you're the handsomest.
Yeah, he just got caught looking at himself in the mirror.
So anybody who does not know about George Bailey yet, George Bailey is their dog, basically their kid.
Yep.
And you will not meet another spoiled dog.
No.
More spoiled than he.
No, he is. He definitely takes the gold medal.
This buddy over there eats more than my kids do.
We've got a Pawaboo for him, so that if he doesn't want to,
that is true.
We can strap him to our tummies.
He is very sweet, very cute.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
It's his house. We're just.
That's true.
You're just living in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so quantum immortality. It is a provocative idea rooted in quantum mechanics and the philosophical implications of the many worlds interpretation, MWI. The MWI suggests that every quantum event gives rise to a branching of parallel universes. Now, this is going to get a little bit deep, so stay with me here. Each representing a different outcome of that event. Okay?
Okay.
In the context of human consciousness and mortality, proponents of quantum immortality propose that whenever an individual faces a life-threatening situation, their consciousness continues to exist in at least one of the branching universes where they survive, regardless of the odds against their survival in the current universe. So think about that for a second. So this quantum immortality basically says that there's different variations of your reality.
Oh, I got you now. And so when you die, you're conscious.
Do what?
The multiverse.
The multiverse, yeah. Somewhat, yeah.
I was trying to wrap my head around to why your consciousness would transfer, but if you die in this timeline or universe, whichever universe where you are still alive, your consciousness would transfer there.
Or it still exists there. Your consciousness, yeah, it still exists there. So there's different levels of consciousness.
Yeah.
And so there's different parallel universes that it's all going on simultaneously, which, again, quantum immortality, it makes you immortal because you are constantly existing in some other form.
What if that's what's happening? What if we just die? What if
we talked about this the last episode? But what if our dreams are like a play on those other?
Yeah, but what if you yourself never actually die? Like you'll never actually see yourself die. You just see people around you die. But like
that's terrifying.
Isn't that crazy?
Ew.
But like you just keep going.
Well, they say there are endless. Like you live an infinite number of lives, so there are.
Well, there has to be.
Where you're a woman born in the 1500s.
Yeah.
There are lives where you're married to your favorite celebrity. There are lives, like timelines.
Well, and you think about this, like in our physical plane right now, we focus on genders and we focus on societal things. But in like the realm of consciousness, none of that shit matters.
Yeah. That's
true. All of it is just living and existing. And what if, like, so... We define time. We define like what death is, which is basically this physical body ceasing to exist. But what if there is no death? Like we're talking about, what if there is no death at all in the sense of the grand scheme?
What if like we are you can only perceive it. You don't actually.
Yeah, we perceive the body, the shell failing as death. But what if there is no death?
Nobody actually ever sees themselves die.
Unless they have a near-death experience.
Unless they have a near-death experience.
But think about that. Like that, we define the death as, yeah, okay, this body, this shell is not functioning anymore.
But if from what a lot of people theorize all the time, saying that these are just vehicles, what if we never truly, what if death isn't a thing? What if it's just we exist?
I think we exist
in different forms. And that's where Albert Einstein always said energy can't be created or destroyed. It just transfers. So what if because we're energetic beings right now. Like we are like our bodies are electrical. Like we are energetic beings.
That has to go somewhere.
Whenever this energy, it goes away from this, it's got to transfer somewhere else, yep, according to Einstein's theory.
Okay. Apropos of nothing, just made me think of this. Did you know that apparently, like, when people were executed via guillotine, they say that the heads would roll around and try to talk and stuff without a heart? The heads would, like, I think they say that a head can live apart from the body for like 6 seconds.
That's where the saying came from. Heads will roll.
Eternities that exist in those 6 seconds. The magnitude of time in those 6 seconds where you are aware of what has happened has like haunted me since I heard it. That, so passing that on.
Well, have you ever seen a chicken with his head cut off?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but I've heard about it because I don't want
to. Hey, what about that one chicken that lived without its head for like a long time?
And they would drop food down its like
his gullet.
Throat hole. You don't remember that?
Yeah, but yeah, how the hell is that even possible?
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
We go down chicken holes a lot, okay?
The chicken gullet.
Ew, pervert?
No, not like that. Oh, Mandy. Good God.
Oh, my God.
This is a rated everybody podcast, okay? Good Lord. All right. So the concept of quantum immortality challenges our conventional understanding of life, death, and probability. From the perspective of the person experiencing it, they would perceive a series of miraculous escapes from death leading to a sense of invincibility or luck that defies rational explanation. This perception could lead individuals to believe they are somehow immune to fatal accidents or illnesses, even in situations where survival seems statistically improbable. One of the most mind-bending implications of quantum immortality is the idea that individuals might be able to cheat death indefinitely, at least from their subjective perspective.
All right.
From the outside observer's viewpoint, the individual would appear to perish in various life-threatening scenarios.
This is what I'm saying, yeah. But
from the perspective of the person experiencing quantum immortality, they would continue to exist in branches of reality where they
survive. That's what I'm saying. So you never really see yourself die that way, right? So like, we see them. We see people die. But what if the person dying doesn't?
They just wake up from a nap.
No, they don't even like, life. They or, don't even or, like, no.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that's another interesting thing. So what if like this, oh God, this. So you're on your deathbed, right? And you pass away, you know, or your body ceases to exist. And then you're existing already. Somewhere in another else. Universe, yeah. And your consciousness just switches to that reality, whatever it is.
I would think that it would be so, the time between the two would be so minute.
Yeah.
I
mean,
well, think about when we talk about deja vu,
yeah,
and we talk about, again, dreams.
Yeah.
What if all of that is just jumping from reality to reality?
Okay, we need to do an episode. Have you heard of the lamp guy?
The lamp guy. The lamp. I love lamp. That guy.
We need to do an actual episode because I'm not going to do it justice. Okay. Like, but this could be an actual episode. This man posted his story on Reddit. And I think it's been a couple of years ago. He is in a accident on a college campus, I think. Please don't quote me on this. I don't know for sure.
I'm quoting you.
He's in some sort of accident and he's knocked out. And he wakes up and he goes on about his life. He ends up meeting this woman. They have children. He they have this beautiful life, and he spends like years with her.
I've read this.
And then one day he's sitting on his couch and he looks at a lamp and he's like, there's something wrong about that lamp. And he could not sleep. He stopped eating, and his wife is like, what's going on? And he's just staring at this lamp, and brother, he's like, something is wrong. And then he wakes up after that accident again. And so he experienced like a decade of life with a woman, with children, and he wakes up back in his quote unquote regular life and has to grieve these children and this woman that don't exist.
I always have said that time only exists to us.
It's weird.
Well, it's man-made. It's a man-made.
Yeah.
It's our perception of the passing of periods of, I guess, time. It's our perception.
But like, why do we have leap day? Why do we have a leap day?
Because we're terrible.
Why do we have daylight savings?
I don't know.
Time?
I want to spring forward and stay there.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to live there.
I think even George Bailey even recognize like any time, or is he just like, eh?
No, they don't. Dogs don't.
You see what I'm saying? Like, he just is existing. He's just vibing.
Yeah. Well, think about it. He doesn't recognize time. He doesn't look at a clock. He doesn't give a shit. Like,
but then also to counter my own point, he knows when I'm supposed to be off work every day.
Oh yeah.
He will start pawing me when it gets to be about the time that I get off work. They know about the time of day that they get fed.
Right. Well, and that's the routine that they're in.
It's a routine.
It's just the awareness of they are correct. He will paw at me if I, like on the weekends, if I sleep in and haven't given him his morning meds. He'll like either I will wake up naturally because of it, or he will paw at me because he knows.
Well, the biological clock,
right.
Biological clock too has something to do with it. But man, I mean, even the lamp guy thing that you're talking about, that's fascinating.
Yeah, Josh, we really should do an episode on it, because like, Josh, you would be I did not do it justice.
I have read that story, and it is fascinating. But think about this. What if we're living another life?
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as whenever we could comprehend when this life started was when because remember, we can't remember, you know, 1, 2 year, no, 2 years
but maybe
old.
That's the whole point, right? Is that maybe that's why.
Like, what would you do if you went to sleep tonight and woke up tomorrow and you were in high school?
You wouldn't know until you had something to...
The deja vu type thing.
Right. Yeah.
Well, man, I've been here before.
Yeah.
Or I've experienced something similar, but I've never, you know, dude, that's, man, is mind blowing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the critics a little bit. So, of course, with anything, you're going to have skeptics and critics, which is fine. So critics of quantum immortality point out several challenges and objections to the theory. One major criticism is the lack of empirical evidence to support the idea. Of course.
What?
My God.
All right. So while proponents argue that subjective experiences of near misses or miraculous survivals could be interpreted as evidence of quantum immortality, skeptics contend that such experiences can be explained by psychological factors, survivorship bias, or simple luck. Furthermore, some critics raise ethical concerns about the potential consequences of embracing quantum immortality as a belief system. If individuals were to adopt the idea that they were invulnerable to death in some form.
But a mere flesh wound.
It could lead to reckless behavior, like we're talking about, a disregard for personal safety, or a failure to accept the natural limitations of life. So even in the word itself, though, think about this, limitations, right?
Yeah.
We have limitations, or so we've been told that we have limitations. And I'm not telling people out there to go set yourself on fire. But what I'm saying is, what if the powers that be know more about our existence than we know about our existence? And this is conspiracy theory all day long. But what if they know more? And
they're just trying to keep us in these skin suits, man.
What if they know that if we realize the full potential and things that we're capable of doing, then there will be an uprising
Just saying, there's an Air Force base in Nebraska dedicated to the weather, which seems like a cover. It seems like Area 51 isn't actually
I'm just trying to escape the skin suit, all right?
Yeah. It just seems like Area 51 is where they want you to like, ooh, yeah, that's where all the aliens are. But is it this weather Air Force Base? Like,
George,
the weather.
Teach me how. Well, I got to get out of this time loop, man.
Well, if anybody heard about, you've heard of HAARP before, right?
Yeah.
So it's the weather, like, center. It was a weather study.
It was supposed to be like a conspiracy for a long time. And then they're like, oh, no, it's cool. It's real now. And
they're
saying
that the government could control the weather.
Yeah.
Could control when storms happened and when they didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then now it's dissolved, they say.
They only tell us after they
conveniently.
Oh, we don't do it anymore. Yeah. Same thing with friggin' MK Ultra. Every conspiracy theory you've ever heard about our government, give it about a decade and they'll tell you it was real.
So there's five different examples of like quantum immortality.
Okay.
So like airplane accidents, there have been cases of individuals surviving catastrophic airplane accidents where all other passengers perished. Mm. So this is a sad story, but there was this...
God, the amount of weight on your shoulders.
There was this, what was it? This baby that survived. It was an infant.
Yeah.
And there 200 and something passengers perished. And this was from like an ungodly height. I can't remember where it was at. You have to look it up. All right, George Bailey.
Hey there.
But anyway, the baby, they found the baby. The baby survived. And it was freaking weird.
That gives me, what was that show we watched?
Was it Harry Potter?
Harry Potter.
Murder, Missing and Murder.
The Boy Who Lived.
No, what is that show? Missing 411?
What about it? I mean, that
it
is a show.
Me, like, there would be like, there was like a 2-year-old who like walked out of his backyard and ended up like on a mountain 5 miles away in an hour.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's Missing 411, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's scary as shit, though, yeah. Especially as a father.
Oh, it gave me nightmares.
Missing 411 is freaking wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but something like that, like how did one baby, how did an infant survive a plane crash
when the chosen
from,
one.
From thousands of miles for like, I think it was 30,000 feet, 35,000 feet.
You said 1,000 miles and I was
not
with
miles.
You. I was with you.
Excuse me. She was like, yeah,
I am not drunk.
Freaking space, bro.
I am not drunk. I repeat, I am not drunk. This is liquid death. This is not beer. All right. So 35,000 feet, something like that. It was insane. But the baby survived. That was one example.
It fell from the freaking moon, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Terminal illnesses is another one. Instances where individuals are diagnosed with terminal illnesses but go on to defy medical expectations and experiences unexpected recoveries. Some of these survivors report feeling as though they were miraculously spared from death, leading to speculation about the role of quantum immortality and their survival. Another one is near-death experiences, and we talked about this in a previous episode, where people, you know, they either flatlined, lost consciousness, their heart stopped, and then they came back and had an experience. And again, that's another example of quantum immortality. Yeah. Extreme sports accidents, which is another thing, like brain injuries, things like that. And people will survive the odds. Combat situations where they go to war and they're, you know, survive. I remember watching this guy. It terrified the living hell out of me. But this guy, he was, so I grew up in a religious household. And does anybody know what TBN is? Do you know what TBN is? It's the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
I was going to say traumatic brain something.
It's Trinity Broadcasting Network. So it was, you know, Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. So they started on TBN.
TBN, you're right.
Praise the Lord.
You're right. Yeah.
It was Praise the Lord. And then Paul and Jan Crouch took it over. And now they're passed away. And now their son is kind of heading it up. But anyway,
it's where you'll be able to watch the new Searchers episodes.
no you will not.
Hyundai, I want a bow tie.
Hyundai, I want you say that quick enough. Hyundai, I want a bow tie. But anyway, we're sidetracked. So on TBN, I remember as a kid watching, every once in a while there would be some preachers that would preach, and there'd be different ones that would have segments. And there was this one guy that was severely disfigured.
Mm-hmm. And he was a...
Did you say it terrified you?
Yeah, it terrified the shit out of me. Because he was a war veteran that survived all the odds.
Terrible.
And now he was preaching the gospel to people. But he would tell the story of he wasn't supposed to survive. And you could see physically.
Like, well, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, he was not supposed to survive. But he did. And so that's another example of like there's these people that go through... Again, I was watching this YouTube video a couple days ago, and again, like I'm super thankful that this person survived. But
right, for sure.
But
I want to be clear with that.
But at the same time, it's like why at this point? Because he was 19 years old, and he was getting he was getting an honorary like inducted into the police force in this certain town. And this guy had no features because he was burned.
Really?
He like 90 something percent of his body was burned in a fire. And when he was a kid, and like he don't have a nose, you don't see his eyes, and like that guy should have not survived, and he survived. And just the hearing him like talk about, you know, I hope to be an inspiration for others. And this guy looks like it looks horrific. Like I'm not talking bad about him, but he looks, it looks horrible,
you know,
and just for somebody to have that in them.
Yeah.
You know,
as somebody that works for the Air Force, I'm not going to tell you what I do. It is the, that is the one
you jump out of planes.
God, yes. No.
Head first.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
It'd be one and done there, buddy.
Just, no, for the ground. Roast session starts now.
You know, no, in all reality, the only reason I do what I do or even care about what I do is because I know that there's a 19-year-old over there somewhere, and he doesn't know why he signed up or felt like he had to, probably. And he needs protecting. I'm not saying that like I agree with everything that we do as a country, but I agree with that.
Everything that's drilled into you, because I inadvertently also work for the Air Force, is you are supporting the warfighter in everything that you do. And the warfighter is that 19-year-old
kid.
Than
what you think it means, that it's right?
And young kids.
We see them all the time, and like we're pretty far along in our careers now, and we're definitely above the age of like being in recruited for the military at this point.
Yeah,
but like,
and
you
know,
seeing
Grandpa,
these kids, you're like, man, you guys are tiny. Like,
well, yeah, and you know, a lot of these kids too, they're told by their parents, like, you're either going to go do this
or join
the military,
or you're going to go to college. And they're like, okay, well, I'll do this for 4 years, whatever. And they don't really understand fully what they're signing up for until it's too late.
Exactly. I mean, you can only really hope that they live long enough to understand what they signed up for.
And then that's like, well, and then even going through their tenure or whatever.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, sometimes having to deal with the effects of the shit that happened during that 4 year time or 2 year time. So yeah, it's crazy. But again, like there's been instances where the wartime stuff where people are not expected to survive and they do. My question is, what do you think about the quantum immortality? Do you think that that's a thing? And if so, does that kind of change maybe your viewpoints on like a higher power or like some sort of,
I mean, you know, I deal
creator out there.
I really, really love like quantum physics stuff. So this is all kind of in my wheelhouse anyway. I do think that like, if your consciousness can just continue to exist, you probably wouldn't be in your same body each time. You could just be in anybody, anywhere.
But why don't we comprehend or understand that right now then? So like, if that is a thing, then why?
Well, largely a lot of that is because we're really, really just breaking the ice when it comes to learning stuff about quantum physics, right? Knowing that particles can be in two places at one time. we're using a lot of that stuff to try and improve our technology, which they're doing, quantum computers and stuff like that. But I think we're infants when it comes to that stuff right now. Mm-hmm. We may very well understand exactly how that works after so many years, you know?
Well, we have a friend who's a physicist.
Yeah. Yeah, she worked in CERN.
Would she be up for an interview at all?
I've asked her. Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I think the reason why we probably don't know more too is because we're very self-centered.
Oh, beings. For sure.
In a lot of ways. And you have to be because it's survival.
Well, I think science too is all about the data, right? So, you know, the one thing about scientists is that true scientists really just only care about the information they're collecting. You know, they make decisions about what they think it is solely based on that stuff. But there's a lot more information that has to be learned on that stuff, you know?
I would love to live forever.
Maybe.
And maybe that's how we would be able to handle it, though. Think about it. So we won't live forever in this physical body.
Maybe so that's the whole point.
So that phase would go, but then we would have another experience and live.
Right.
And then have another experience and live.
Right.
So it's like we will be with our loved ones until we pass.
Yeah.
Until they pass. And then we go and experience another life. I mean, it's weird, but if you think about it, like it would be one thing if you lived forever in this body. Yeah. Because then you would have your loved ones all around you dying and you would be the only one left. But if you still existed, but you existed in a different form, then I think that could be tolerable because all of the memories that we may have existed for since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And we just don't realize that.
That's true.
Which is freaking crazy.
And that would explain how like you have like a 3-year-old talking about, you know, where they died.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
well,
like
they experience their past life. But remember, after about when they turn 6 or 7 years old, mm-hmm. all of those memories go away.
Yep.
So what if it's we don't remember up to a certain or past a certain age for a reason?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And dude,
most people lose it in infancy. So they like before they would talk, they would lose those memories.
Yeah.
I just think that...
Yeah, that's crazy, though.
Ooh, I don't like it.
That's crazy. But you know what? It's cool if you don't really know that it's going on. Like, we're thinking of it now, but let's say by the time we're on our deathbed and we continue on the other phase of life, whatever it is, we won't even know that we had this conversation.
Yep. That's the thing.
Like, we're just existing in another form and existing and going about our lives.
You die and it's discovering
something else.
Upload back to another download.
Isn't that crazy, though? If you think about that, but that would be super cool because the only reason why I would say if we could prove something like that was going on, the only way I think that would be beneficial is it would give people peace of mind to like, even if you're worried about death and you're worried about sometime in the future dying, you don't really die.
That's true.
This body dies, but you continue.
But then you'd have people like me that just run out into the street.
But if you could, like, also, our brains, could they compute that level of memory, knowing that humans have existed, like, early forms of humans have existed for millions of years, but, like, traditional humans now, it's been, like, 200,000 years, 150,000 years.
I mean, think about like the history that we've learned of ourselves.
Like, we feel like 80 years is a long life. And it is, but humans aren't exactly new either. And like, what if you've recycled, if your soul has recycled through lives for a million years, even 100,000 years, even how many lifetimes is that?
I don't even think that like we truly even understand
history. And what if it's not just human beings?
What if it's animals?
Not just that, but what if there's other existences? This is a very large universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are trillions of different galaxies and all that stuff. What if we are in a constant state of experiencing for all of eternity? And what if all it is just we'll hypothesize heaven and hell and every purgatory, whatever else. And all of that is our just perception, our understanding. But what if we are just, we are what was, what will be, all entangled into one, and we're all just stardust floating around. And
we are a fleck of dust in multitudes of space, and we have to pay taxes.
Exactly. What the hell? What? But you know what? But you know what? Once our body ceases to exist, we're not even going to, we might not even think about that. It might be something else that we encounter. But what if we just continually, for all of time, just experience? And that's what that's what real life is like. Mm-hmm. We're just experiencing through endless time, which is crazy. Not even time, like it'd be just through eternity, just forever.
I don't want to.
I mean,
be
Carl Sagan said, like, you are made of star stuff. Maybe that's we are
indeed made of star stuff. That is
it
true.
It even sounds like.
But star stuff
what if
is.
We are the star stuff.
Dirt and rocks.
Well, and just think about, we don't.
Metaphorically, Joshua.
We don't even know. We don't even grasp a fraction of the concept of anything that goes on in the universe. There's so much out there. I guarantee you, like, we have.
Yeah.
Like,
truth.
Miraculous.
The Carina
things,
Nebula
probably.
Is my background on my.
That's cool.
Phone.
Yeah,
because it is so breathtakingly beautiful, and like how does that exist?
Well, and if you think of the universe too, there are no limits. Like there's limits to our understanding, but it's limitless.
Yeah.
So, which means probably every possibility, everything that we could ever fathom, could be enveloped in the universe itself.
Yeah,
that's true too.
Which is exciting, and I wish that we could. Tap into some of that stuff.
I have
now.
A life where I live in a chateau in France.
You lie. You want to be a witch in a bog. You tell me that.
No, no, y'all both lie. You want to be Harry Styles' pillow.
I mean,
or his underwear or something.
His underwear.
Rated
no,
R.
Josh is right. Like, my ideal life is. A witch in a bog. I just want to be a witch in a bog with
a witch
little
in a
house.
Bog.
George Why? Bailey is my familiar. I'm going to enchant it to where there's no frogs in my bog. And I just want to like read books in my little cottage with George Bailey.
You've watched too much Princess Diaries. Jeez. Or no, not Princess Diaries. The Princess Bride. Isn't there a witch in
she
a...
She no longer lives in this world, my man. She is like...
I want to live in Terrace.
She's somewhere else.
Not Princess Diaries. I misspoke. Princess Bride. Or no. Yeah, the Princess Bride. Isn't You're that? Isn't there a witch Bride. Or something in there?
Oh, there's witches in lots of stuff. I just
but
read
in
the
Princess
Realm
Bride,
Breaker trilogy,
right?
The and there's a witch in it.
Old witch,
maybe.
Yeah, I want to be like the children of the town. Whisper.
My hands look like this.
Is she nice?
So that she can live in another world.
Is she nice? Is she mean? Is she going to curse us? Is she going to feed? Like, I want to be like the thing that the children of the town whisper about, like the witch in the bog.
You know what's crazy?
They're already
you know,
doing
you know
that.
What's yeah, they're already doing that. You know what's crazy about this whole conversation? Not once has she mentioned, I want Josh to be with me while I'm in.
You'll be my minion.
Wow.
What?
Well, you'll be my minion. Will you
a
be,
minion?
Will you be kidnapping the children?
Nothing changes.
Will you be like
nothing changes from now
Nobody
to then.
Knows.
Wow.
You
guys heard that.
Bog.
She just called me a minion.
You're about the only one who could be in my bog, but.
As a minion. Aww. I don't want to be in your bog as a minion.
Not a like not a
what?
I don't know what they
you
say.
Messed
I've never
up.
Seen. I've never seen Despicable
I would like
Me.
I would like to be a king.
Kevin!
I would like to be a young king, probably
young king.
Probably around 15.
Dude.
That are currently that it's constantly fed grapes and fanned.
You should watch Alexander.
That's like
the
what
making
a Roman
of
emperor
a king, or making of a god on Netflix. It is incredible.
What is it?
Alexander, the Making of a God.
Oh,
it's
that is
Alexander
really cool. Alex, it's,
he
yeah,
came
it's like
a
historic...
I was sick one day, and I just turned it on.
It is really
or something,
good.
And he came in from work and like sat down with me, and he was as engrossed as
fascinating.
I was. So good. It's like it's part movie where they act out scenes, but then it'll cut into researchers and historians like documentary style. So you'll flip back and forth, and it sounds like that's bad, but it's really not. It's really
so like Alexandra really thought that he was like a. Demigod.
Yeah. He saw an oracle.
And like
that
people
told
thought
him,
that he was.
First,
too.
He thought he was the son of Zeus, and then he got another god. An oracle told him that. He went to a shrine for Achilles before a big battle and literally took Achilles' shield and like vest thing off of the wall and wore it into battle.
But to that point, he like
he beat everybody.
He beat everyone.
He beat the Persian army.
The whole Persian army.
And like that was like, if the Leonidas's people in 300, if they had won.
If the Spartans had won, it's about the same. Like
the country or whatever, what their land
like
was.
He didn't have like a giant Sparta, giant army. Like he just.
No, I got to check this out.
Yeah, it's like 300 compared to who they were up against. Levels of Alexander the Great's people were tiny.
Yeah.
And he's still like up to. He didn't kill the king of the Persians, but like he ended up with his throne.
I mean, the dude ended up fleeing.
Fleeing like, and getting killed by his own advisor. What?
Yeah. Getting killed by his own advisor.
Fascinating. I'm sorry for that aside.
No. I love history like that. I've always loved also like I've loved Greek mythology. And
yes.
God, that is like, I could nerd out on that all the time.
You talk about like having a religious upbringing. My mom would like, I would go to church every Sunday. We're Episcopalian, right? And we would go to church and we had like a little library because my church is very old. Okay. It was like a Civil War hospital or something. But there was a little library and she would let me go like to keep me still during church. She would let me go pick out a book. I would always get the Greek mythology book and read it during church.
It's so interesting. Yeah. All of it is super interesting.
It is really interesting.
Alexander, Making of a God. And if you like that, they also years ago did something very similar called The Last Tsars, which is about the Romanovs who are on my gallery wall. Their last portrait is up there.
I don't know. Making of a God was really
Like The Last Tsars. It's about the last tsars of Russia.
Yeah, but this guy like literally beat wars that he shouldn't have been able to win, but he did it with confidence. He did things that like,
and he was so young.
He did that. Yeah, I mean, he did things that kings before him,
he was in his like late emperors before him
would have that literally died doing trying to do the same things, and
he kidnapped like, he did them that with such confidence. The king of Persia's wife and daughter, and ended up like impregnating the guy's wife. It was wild.
It's crazy.
That's
dude.
An insult to injury, right?
Exactly.
There.
He did not care, but then he cared a lot too.
Well, part of it, dude, is that she actually learned to like. She was like affectionate towards.
Okay,
him,
the historian said there's no record of her thoughts. Mm. They dramatize it to where she was kind of like, my husband hasn't come to get me. I'm gonna play the game and
I mean that's
whatever.
True,
but like, it could have very well been that she was raped and. Forced into having this baby or forced into this pregnancy. We don't know. History doesn't know because it was a long time ago. And
I don't know, but they really do know that she was treated really well.
She was, he did treat them both very well.
So
treated them as queens.
Yeah. Treated them as their like statuses. I don't know. It was really fascinating.
Dang, I need to check that out now. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Sorry for
it's
that.
One of those instances, though. I mean, the reason that it's fascinating that really does kind of fall in line to like, you know, being the baby in a plane crash that survives, or I mean, this guy literally changed the world.
Yeah, his dad was like assassinated at a wedding, and he suddenly like was the king.
That was it.
He was like,
and he went from that. I mean, he has changed.
He walked through the Sahara Desert.
History as we know it.
And got stuck in a sandstorm and ended up making it to where he was going. Like, instead of just dying in the desert.
Yep.
That's wild.
It's crazy.
I love history, but I love stuff like that anyway.
You would love it. It's like I said, it's like a movie and a documentary all together. It's like, there's nothing boring. Like, there's no boring bits. It's like, oh my God, what comes next?
That's cool. I need to check it out. And y'all need to check it out too. What is it? Alexander,
The Making of a
God. The Making of a God.
It's fairly new on Netflix. I want to say in the last month or so.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then if you like that, The Last Tsars also on Netflix.
The Last Tsars.
Yeah. And cool. That's talking about leading up to the Romanov's assassination. And is Anastasia still out? Like, was she still out there? Did she survive? Because I think her and Alexei's remains were never found. So they don't know if they were killed. But it's fascinating. I really love that style of documentary where they also make it like a
film. Make it interesting.
A cinematic experience.
Yeah. That's cool. I need to check it out. Well, hopefully we do live forever.
There's only one way to find out.
No.
Keep going. Stop.
Yeah, keep going. I thought you were going to say that you're going to run into traffic again. All right. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our sponsors, hornparanormal.com. They make all of our paranormal equipment that we use on the searchers and some other productions that we do. They also provide the equipment for our giveaways every month.
Yep.
So please check them out. They are awesome people. They really, really do a lot of great work, and go support them.
Yeah.
And until the next episode, we'll talk to you all later.
See ya.